It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania are growing bits of brain matter in petri dishes. The cerebral organoids, as they're called, need very little manipulation. The brain cells are put together and allowed to develop and do, much like a fetus develops in the womb. This is groundbreaking science and could lead to a better understanding of our mostly obscure knowledge about how brains function. But is it also creating something that is conscious? And what are the ethical limits of creating a conscious thing and then conducting experiments on it? Insoo Yun is a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Case Western Reserve University of Medicine. He's the author of the book Bioethics and the Future of Stem Cell Research. He joins us today by phone. Insoo, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So what exactly is this kind of research trying to accomplish?
Well, it's trying to accomplish a couple of things. One of the main things is to study how the brain develops and how different cell types arise. And so it's a great tool for developmental biologists who want to study an aspect of human biology you otherwise cannot observe in the laboratory. And secondly, once you have these tools, once you have these models of the human brain, both diseased and healthy, you can also do some medical tests on them, for example, drug screening tests or other experiments to know whether certain disease models could be improved or ameliorated through medical interventions before you go to human trials and before you go to animals, if at all, going to animals.
And how sophisticated are these brain bits?
So the field is moving rather quickly. It's only been a few years since it was discovered that stem cells have this incredible capacity to self-organize, with just very little instruction, self-organize into these developing clusters of brain tissue, which normally represent various regions of the brain. The science has gone rather rapidly to this point where now people are trying to recapitulate or grow all the different cell types of the human brain and to grow it for a very long time. So you mentioned in your lead-in that these brain models will go through fetal stages, and that's absolutely true, but if you can grow them for over a year or more, then they actually start to exhibit more adult cell-like properties and start to model more of the adult human brain.
Okay, so that's kind of frightening to me, Insoo. how adult-like do these brains get? Can they actually think? Are they actually sentient?
Right. So that's going to be an immediate area of curiosity for many people other than the scientists, and for scientists themselves. So the key issue is, the limitation is, getting these brain models to grow in the lab for a long period of time because they do mature slowly, just like a real human brain. And so the key challenge is to make sure that they get enough nutrients, that there's circulation. And so because there are no blood vessels in these models, it is quite a challenge to maintain them for a very long time. But you raise a good question. I mean, what if we start to get to the stage of human brain development or some region of the human brain where consciousness is possible or sensation or experience? And philosophically, one wonders, how would you even know if that's happening?
Right.
If there are these experiences. You can't ask the brain organoid, hey, so how are you feeling today? And obviously there's no way to respond. So there's no input or output to this model, right? It's just a cluster of really fascinatingly working, interlocking cells and tissue. The thing about consciousness you have to remember is that it involves the entire human brain. It involves the entire human brain after quite a bit of development, so not in the very, very early fetal stages, obviously. And it involves signaling across major regions. So if you don't have yet all the regions of the brain model and all the cell types, then biologically, you just don't have the basis for consciousness, so we believe. But philosophically, there's always a question of, well, how would one actually know? And that's always been a challenge. Even in philosophy, how would you even know that a comatose patient doesn't have any experience?
That's a good question. Also, I want to go back to the brains themselves. Do they come from donors? Where are we getting these bits of brain matter?
Right, that's a great question. So they come from cell donors. So what you can do now is you can get any patient or any healthy volunteer, take any cell from their body, let's say their blood cells, gut cells, skin cells, any cell that's easy to get, and you can reprogram these body cells into stem cells that can become any kind of cell. So that's the first step. The first big breakthrough is making your normal cells, turning them into stem cells. And then once you get the stem cells, you can direct them to different kinds of cell lineages in the human body. And what people have learned is as you start nudging them toward the brain-type cell development, and you put them together, they'll actually self-organize and talk to one another to then go through all the stages of human development early on. So the brain models can come from patient cell samples or healthy volunteers, and you actually want to compare the healthy brain organoids with the disease, so to speak, disease brain organoids. So they come from patients, they come from people who volunteer to provide their cells for this kind of research.
We are talking to bioethicist Insoo Hyun. He's exploring the ethical questions of growing brains in laboratories. I want to get to this idea of consciousness that we're talking about, and also the idea of scientists questioning their own work in this way. That's not something that I have seen in my life. I've seen scientists doing their science and ethicists going, whoa, 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 what are you doing? Where is this coming together?
That's a great question. So what I'm experiencing, what the field of bioethics and science is experiencing now is the removal of these silos where there's a division of labor. The scientists are in their science silos, and the bioethicists like me are in our ethics silos and social, you know, concern silos. What the researchers now know, and I think a lot of this stems from the past couple of decades of the human stem cell experience where it got so political and it got so heated, that many of those leading researchers in the stem cell field have now moved on to this brain organoid field. And I think they bring that experience with them, that we need to engage ethics and policy, and we need to engage sort of the larger social questions that our research raises. So now we're luckily, happily, in a space where there's great openness among scientists, and they realize there's kind of an artificial distinction or divide between this idea of science is one thing, ethics is the other. They realize the science that they're doing, and if they want to do it well, has to involve ethical consideration. So now there's a lot of talk between ethicists like me and the scientists as they're trying to better their brain models. The really fascinating thing is it's going to go far beyond simply growing a brain model in addition to studying it. It's going to now get into the field of putting these things together with bioengineered devices. So you get these weird combos of biology and human development with bioengineering, and then you end up with an entity that actually does not exist on Earth right now. There's nothing like a little brain organoid that's paired with some sort of biological device that will read, signals from the brain. There's nothing like that that you find in nature. So the researchers realize these are highly unusual, novel entities. They don't even really know what to call some of these things, and they need the help of people like me to think through some of the issues before you do an experiment that eventually you realize many people are very, very upset about.
Okay, so I want to talk about the public backlash here, because what you just described could become the Borg. It could be something that takes over the world, and people like me are afraid of that. So how do you reassure us that this isn't going to be some sort of science fiction gone off the rails?
Yeah, sometimes I hear about these ideas that the researchers want to do as the next step, and I kind of wonder out loud, isn't this how Terminator started?
Yes.
Picture of machine and brain, neural tissue. So how do we deal with this? So like I said, the researchers are trying very hard to be more proactive and involve a discussion along the way. But I think a couple of things the public needs to keep in mind. One is, you have to have public support to fund a lot of this research. And so obviously the public has to be on board. But it's not, you have to realize, scientists are not simply doing things just because they're randomly curious. They just want to see what happens.
Okay, Insoo, I'm going to have to stop you there. We're running out of time. Insoo Hyun is a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. He's been talking to us about the bioethics of stem cell research. Thank you for joining us, sir.